Tonight, I want to kind of culminate this, shall I say, kind of out of the ordinary type study that we entered, because usually we just strictly study the Bible, but I felt that we needed to know a few things that would help us to help those that are in cults, that would help us to be protected from when cult-type teaching moves in upon us, that we could recognize it. We could be, shall I say, forewarned is forearmed. All right? Now, tonight's session, which will close that type out, is kind of weird. So you'll just kind of have to bear with me a little bit. It's not what I normally would talk about. But as a result of teaching on the other two, you'd be surprised at the amount of questions and the questions that you guys, yourselves, and others that I've taught these same sessions to have come up to me afterwards with. And it really upsets me a little bit when Christians fall into the same trap that the lost people do and are sitting around wondering, you know, what's going on when the Bible's got the answers. You know what I mean? I mean, we sit around at work and in places talking with the lost about things that they're talking about that they think are, quote, really help stuff, and we don't see the spiritual significance to what's going on. Now, it's going to be a weird one tonight, so once again, you're just going to have to hang in there with me a little bit. Would you open your Bibles with me to Luke in chapter 21? Luke in chapter 21. Begin with me, if you will. I want to look at two verses in particular. Verse 11 and verse 25. Now, this tremendous chapter is Luke's version of Jesus telling us, prophesying, for he was a prophet, you know, amongst many other things that he is and was. He was a prophet, the greatest of all prophets. That's not the only thing he was, but he was a prophet. He was a teacher. He was a preacher. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is Lord. He is King. He's many things to us. But it says here, begin with me at verse 10, it says, "Then nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, famines, pestilences, and fearful sights." And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Verse 25. "There shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring." All right? Now, I just want to put that in there for a little background. Now, I do not believe that God in the Bible really is teaching us anywhere so much to look for signs at all. Beloved, you will never figure out from any of the scriptures, you know, when he's coming. Jesus already said only the Father knows that. And so it's obvious then that God doesn't want anyone to know. I don't believe God wants us looking for signs, but rather that we're to live one day at a time expecting a Jesus to come any time for us so that we're looking for Jesus. Okay. Now, we can see that there are signs. God, Jesus himself said the only sign I'm really going to give you guys is a sign of Noah. He said that said at the time of Noah, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Well, that doesn't sound like a heck of a sign to me. I mean, people have been doing that for a long time. But, of course, the significance of that scripture is that they were being warned that judgment was coming by Noah as he built the ark, by Methuselah. The people were being warned that judgment was coming, and their attitude toward it was, well, life as usual. In other words, there was no heeding to the warnings of the preaching that was going on, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, where Noah was preaching that judgment was coming. Now, tonight, as a result of teaching you about the cults and the basis of the cults and everything, questions have come up, and I want to talk to you just briefly about several. And I'm not going to spend more time on this than I deem necessary, and I'm not going to try and, you know, go into very much detail, but I am going to spend a little time tonight talking to you about these things called UFOs, unidentified flying objects, because many of you have asked, you know, while I've been talking on these weird things like cults and things like that. Because many of the cults talk about these things, and you talk to them, and here it comes. Also, I will talk to you briefly about this picture that's being passed around, the Shroud of Turin. And I will mention briefly to you about one other thing that you've asked about, the Bermuda Triangle or the Devil's Triangle. Now, the main thing I want you to all understand is, listen to me. I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. But the one big thing that I want you to keep in mind tonight as I talk to you about these subjects, because they are, the Bible does have the answer. And I want you to observe that as I talk to you tonight about these things, it has nothing to do, my answers are going to have nothing to do with the fact, you know, that I'm a science graduate or that I went, you know, to the university 6.5 years and all kind of stuff like that. It will have nothing, the answers will have nothing to do with human intelligence. You know, in other words, because I've been reading my Bible, when these kind of weird things come up, I know the answer. Because I read the book. And the answers are very simple in the book. Now, first of all, on UFOs, okay, let me just briefly say this. You know, people are talking about Van Daniken and guys like this are writing books like, you know, The Chariot of the Gods and Was God an Astronaut or something like that. And all this kind of garbage, you know, the devil puts out is going around. And, of course, now it's funny to us in here tonight, but I guarantee you most of you, if you go have coffee with the guys and girls that you work with, they'll sit there and entertain these thoughts as though it's really intellectual, you know, as though there's really something to it. Now, do you have the answers? Do you know the answers? And where did you get your answers? And can you, you know, when people come to you, can you minister to them? And do you yourself know? Or do you enter into these conversations as though you don't know either? You know, are there UFOs? Is there intelligent life from other planets and things like that? And are they really coming? And what is the answer? What's going on? Now, let me just say this briefly. The United States government has been studying this for quite some time now. And I'm not going to go into very much detail, but I will say this. I know firsthand that when President Ford was the president, I do not know what's going on right now. But see, that's only been, a year and a half, 2 years since he was the president, that he had a specific team of scientists working, and they still do, I know that. I don't know what their situation is, but they were reporting to him, making studies of UFOs and reporting to him, and this was the official feeling in Washington that there was intelligent life in outer space and that within the next 15 years of when Ford was president, they expected to contact, that there would be a contact established with our government, and there was a team of scientists that were making routine and regular reports to President Ford on this. What I'm getting you to see is that our government considers this to be a real thing. Okay? Now, I suppose we should start off by saying this. there are literally hundreds of thousands of reports of UFOs. Now, many of them are farces and everything like that, but there are many people that have seen them. Now, I myself have never seen one. I have seen government film with UFOs supposedly on them, a series of about 6 to 8 discs. And I'll say this. They were going this way like at an incredible speed, like 40,000 miles an hour, and they just suddenly went that way at 40,000 miles an hour without ever slowing down, without ever coming to a stop. Now, I do know enough, being a scientist, to know that that is physically impossible, okay? Nothing can do that. The Newtonian laws of gravity, if there was someone in a ship going 40,000 miles an hour this way and it went 40,000 miles an hour that way without ever slowing down, I don't care how well he was strapped in that chair, you would be peeling that guy off the wall. I mean, even if the ship could do it, which would defy all the laws of physical science that we understand, that guy, according to the laws of inertia, would keep going, and you would be scraping him off, you know, of that wall. Well, now, so number one, I want you to know that they defy the laws of science. Number two, we're being told that these UFOs are coming from outer space, from, you know, intelligent lives forms from outer space. Many people have supposedly talked to them. Many people have ridden on these ships, spaceships, flying saucers, many times. Now, I'd like for us to just investigate a few of the things that they say, and I think we can solve, in terms of the Bible, we can solve the mystery of UFOs very simply. It's really a very simple answer. All right, now, the leading scientist that is examining these, or at least one of the top three, I forget his name, but he is a professor of astronomy at Northwestern University. He is on this government team. He works with them. And he made this remark, and at least in this point, he was right. He said, "It is my opinion that these things are basically non-physical, that they are basically psychic phenomenons. In other words, spiritual." And beloved, he's basically correct. Now, I'll enlarge on that as I go. Okay? Now, first of all, is there life, intelligent life, in beyond planet Earth, extraterrestrial? Now, first of all, the Bible mentions something about the heavens. Now, in the scriptures we just read, it said there will be signs in the heaven. Now, the word heaven, that's fine. But if we were going to interpret that same word, translate that same word in a modern setting, the way you and I talk today, it would be perfectly okay to have said outer space, that there will be fearful signs in space. Now, in the Bible, let this circle be the earth, there are three heavens mentioned in the Bible. Normally, you and I, when we think of heaven, we think of, you know, the abode of God, where, you know, and that's true, and in that sense, there's only one heaven. But the Bible really talks about three heavens. Now, there are not seven heavens. That is an occult teaching. Anytime you read something about the seventh heaven or something like that, that teaching began in the occult. Has nothing to do with the Bible. All right? Now, some of you belong to denominations that talk about the seventh heaven and things, but that came from an occult teaching. Now, the first heaven that the Bible mentions is what we call our atmosphere. And the Bible mentions a heaven around the earth where the birds fly and things like that. It's talking about our atmosphere. Then the earth mentions another heaven, the Bible mentions another heaven, which is the place of the, what we would call the starry heavens. All right, that's the place where the suns and the moons and the stars and the quasars and the pulsars and the galaxies and the black holes and whatever else is out there, asteroids, satellites, that is the second heaven. So the first heaven in the Bible is our atmosphere. The second heaven is the starry heaven. And then there is something that is called in the Bible in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, or rather 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, the third heaven, which is the abode of God. And God has moved, apparently, from Scripture, paradise, to His presence. The third heaven, okay? So when you die, according to Scripture, you go to paradise, which is the presence of God. Absence from the body is presence with the Lord. And so there are three heavens. So it says in the Scripture then that there are going to be fearful signs in the heavens, or shall I say, in space, from space, okay? Now, because that's the modern word that we would use. If you were writing that, you know, translating today, you'd probably say, from heaven, or you could say from space. Now, the Bible does mention, now, I don't think that what we're talking about right now is the only fulfillment of that, nor the ultimate fulfillment of that. But I think that it is a fulfillment. Okay? And you have the right to ask, well, Brother Floyd, do you believe that there is intelligent life beyond the earth? Absolutely, yes. There's no question about it. There is intelligent life beyond this planet. And the way I know that there is the Bible mentions about it. The Bible clearly mentions very intelligent life beyond this planet in the realm of heaven. The Bible mentions creatures called angels who are very intelligent beings who were created by God who live in the third heaven. And they are, according to Hebrews chapter 1, ministering spirits sent to aid those that are the heirs of salvation, us. In fact, the Bible says that angels encamp around the camp of those that fear the Lord. And so that means, gang, there's angels in this room tonight. Now, I don't know why they're here completely. Don't know what they're doing. But, gang, whatever you guys are doing, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Hallelujah. Angels are with us tonight. Now, we don't see them. I don't know how many dimensions God lives in. We have three, height, width, depth, three-dimensional creatures. I really have no conception whatsoever of what kind of dimensions God lives in. There are a lot of things we know about God, and there's a lot of things we don't know about God. But one thing I do know is God says He's everywhere, and so He's here too with us today. Now, the Bible says there's other kind of intelligent beings, that there are intelligent beings called cherubim. They're intelligent creatures, very powerful creatures, according to Isaiah 6, called seraphim. There are intelligent creatures in Revelation chapter 5 that are called the living Zoa, the living creatures. They're kind of weird by, you know, what we think normal is. They're not weird to themselves. They look just right for a living Zoa, the living creatures. It seems to be that they're, you know, they've got several faces, and they look kind of like people, and they look kind of like animals. But God says they're there, and so they're there. Yes, there is no question that there is intelligent life beyond this earth. The Bible also mentions other very intelligent creatures. The Bible mentions, so someone sees us about this time, you're thinking, aha, Brother Floyd's going to tell us that these UFOs are angels. No. I'm not going, or cherubim, or something like that. No, I'm not going to tell you that. So, you say, well, what are these other intelligent beings you mentioned? Well, the Bible mentions there was a fellow named Lucifer, who was once a cherubim, according to Ezekiel in chapter 28. The great torchbearer, the lightbearer, one that stood by the throne of God, and that he sinned and fell from the heavens, his first abode, and that the Bible indicates very strongly that a third of the angels sinned and fell with him. So these are the malevolent angels, the demons of Satan. They're very intelligent creatures. The Bible says that they exist. Now, one of the devil's favorite tricks is to make us believe, think that he doesn't exist, that, you know, he's really a mischievous kid that just needs a good high school counselor, and that he would straighten out. But the Bible, my Bible, says I have an enemy. He hates me. My Bible says I am in spiritual warfare. My Bible says that I may see my mother-in-law giving me a hard time, or my boss giving me a hard time, or my wife giving me a hard time, but that's not where the problem is. That I am in a spiritual war with someone, a creature, a very powerful creature that hates me. Now that would scare me half to death, except I've got a Savior and a Lord who has thoroughly defeated him to the point that even to mention my Lord's name scares that guy half to death. You know, when I was a kid, I got in a fight with a boy one time, and I beat him up pretty badly. And after that, any time my name was mentioned, he ran for his life. My name struck fear in his heart. I had defeated him so thoroughly. Well, my Bible says that Jesus so thoroughly defeated Satan that any time we want Satan to run off, just remind him of who stomped him, and he runs. Jesus. I'm so glad I don't have to whip Satan. I mean, isn't that good? All I've got to do is mention the name of the one that whipped him, and he gets scared and leaves. Hallelujah. That's a lot better than me having to fight the devil. I've got a big brother that whipped him. That's right. Jesus is my bigger brother, my older brother, because by virtue of the new birth, we've got the same dad. Hallelujah. Now, can we tell what these unidentified flying objects are? Now, let me submit to you very strongly. Someone says, well, Brother Floyd, do you believe there's any other intelligent life in outer space? No. There's no question about it. Beloved, there is no intelligent life form, created life form, anywhere in the universe except planet Earth. How can I be so dogmatic? Well, because the Bible says so. You say, well, I've never read those scriptures. Hallelujah, you're about to. Okay? Now, here's my point. Listen to me carefully. Beloved, there is no creature in space superior to us. How do I know? Because the Bible says we were created in the image of God. The Bible says in Psalms 8 that we were created just a little lower than the angels. Now, it's true that ever since the fall, decay, death has been ruling and reigning, and that you and I are nothing compared to what Adam was. The Bible strongly indicates to me that Jesus and Adam, with their unfallen natures, were not like us. Oh, they looked like us in general. In general. But they were the most fantastic creatures that have ever touched this planet. That physically, listen, that Jesus was perfect, a perfect human. Jesus was the human being God wanted every one of us to be. So was Adam. They had incredible spiritual power. In other words, we're body, soul, and spirit. They were incredible in spiritual power. Why? Because they hadn't sinned. Before Adam fell, he hadn't sinned. Jesus never did. And so there was no way to cripple their faith. Man, they just spoke. And it happened because they walked with God. I had someone tell me they couldn't tell that God was a God of love in the Old Testament. I can't believe that. I can't believe anyone ever read Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 and couldn't figure out that God loved us. My Bible says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the evening and talked to him. Gang, that is a love story. And I personally believe with all my heart that God manifested himself, that Jesus Christ came every evening and walked with Adam and talked to him. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe that it was just that he just heard. I believe that God manifested himself, that there was a relationship and a fellowship that's unbelievable. That's a love story. My book of Genesis is a great love story. And one of the lovers betrayed the other. There was a Benedict Arnold, our granddaddy, quite a few times removed, Adam. And if I'd have been there, I'd have blown it too. And the proof of that is that he only had one law to break, and he broke it. And by the time I was old enough to read, I'd broken God's laws. And so had you. So you'd have busted it too if you'd have been in the garden. Now, if we were created in the image of God, how can anything be greater than that? There's no way anything in space is going to be greater than us. Number one. Now, number two, as I've told you before, the only nine planets we know we have ever found are the nine that revolve around our sun, our star, the sun. The sun is just a star. All stars are like our sun, made up almost completely of helium and hydrogen. The two rarest chemical compounds in the universe that we've ever found with our spectroscopes is water vapor and oxygen. The Earth is a very peculiar place. Now, it's true that we seem to be very insignificant in some ways because we belong to a third-rate galaxy, the Milky Way. We're out on the outer edge of a third-rate galaxy, and we're kind of our sun is kind of a third-rate star in a third-rate galaxy, and we're kind of we're a minor planet around it in size. But we're unique. We've never found anything in space, ever, that has anywhere near the water vapor and the oxygen that we have. And to have life, that's what you need. Okay? Now, I read my Bible, and long before we ever sent anything up to Mars, I said there's not going to be any life found there. It was easy. I read the book. See, I wasn't just blabbing. I read the book. Now, we have never found scientifically any planets beyond our own nine. There are literally billions of suns that we've actually found. Billions. Yet we've never seen a single planet other than our nine. Now, scientifically then, I can't prove that there aren't any out there. But on the other hand, no one can prove that there are. So it remains, and the burden of proof would remain with the other guy to find us another planet before we could intelligently consider whether there will be life out there. Now, I already know the answer. There isn't. Now, let's read it in the Bible. Okay, because we want to find out, what are these UFOs? You know, is there anyone coming? Okay. Yeah, someone's coming, but it isn't in a spaceship. All right? Turn with me, hallelujah, to Genesis chapter 1. Isn't this great? The answer is going to be in the first chapter of Genesis. Gosh, that's where we ought to find a bunch of answers. At the beginning of the book. Excuse me, verse 14 of chapter 1. Now let's read this. Now listen. Prayerfully. Expecting God to show us the simplest thing in the world. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for..." Now observe, we're about to read the purpose that God Himself says is why He put everything in the heavens. "Let them be for," number one, "signs." Number two, "seasons." "For days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give their light," what? "Upon the earth." God is showing us purpose in creation. This is not random happening. God is telling us why. Purpose. "That these things were to give light on the earth." And it was so. Man, I'm glad I've got a God that says that's His purpose, and then He does it. "God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day, the lesser to rule the night, and He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." Hey, gang, we just read why God put them there. God said the purpose was so that we could tell sign for signs, for seasons, for days to tell time with, and years, and to give light on the earth. That's it. Observe, God did not say He put them there to be inhabited. Did He? God tells us the purpose. And it had nothing to do with anything being on it. That the object was to give light to the earth, to be for signs, to be for seasons, to be for days, and to be for years. Golly, that's the answer. I know why God put them all there. Now, I can't explain to you why He put so many. I don't know the answer, why they all are out there and why there's different kinds. God didn't tell me that. But it has to do with this purpose. Obviously, then, for some reason or another, God felt like every one of them were necessary to accomplish these goals. Okay? If it was more, He would have told us more. That's number one. Number two, Psalms 115, verse 16. Let's read it together. Psalms 115, I'm going to read verse 15 and 16. So if you'll turn there. Verse 15 and 16. "Ye are blessed of the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth." The heaven, even the heavens, observe it's plural there, are the Lord. Oh, that's where God's home is. Okay? "But the earth has He given to the children of men." Gang, if you want to know where you're going to find men, God says it'll be on the earth. So you're not going to find people anywhere else. God says, the purpose for the earth, that's where I'm going to put people. So no, since we're in the image of God, that means that we were created just a little lower than angels, that means you're not going to find anything superior to us in outer space. And number two, God says, if there were any other people out there, I would have put them on the earth, not out there. And God told us the purpose for all the stars, sun, moon, and everything out there. So, gang, in just a couple of verses, we have solved the mystery of the ages. You know, intelligent people have always wondered if anything's going on out there, and you and I know the answer from just a couple of verses. Now, but what are the UFOs and what's going on? Let's come back to that. Because all this is interrelated. Well, I want you to think with me for a moment. Some of you have read accounts of this. As I've studied this and read what people have had to say, many people that have encountered these UFOs and talked to the people on them and ridden and quote the flying saucers and things like that, there's two stories that basically come out. Now hear me carefully. No matter what the story reads, it's always one of two in general. One is that they talked to these superior creatures and they had a message for us. And the message was that we're coming to save you guys, that you're about to destroy yourselves,